It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download their online casino and sportsbook app today.
It's the Monday edition of the show. McCowan and Shannon here. Richard Deitch will join us in just a few minutes.
Yeah, before we do that, though,
what?
Did you watch Purdue yesterday?
Why would you want to know?
Well, no, because Purdue is pretty. It was a pretty impressive Canadian day for Purdue yesterday.
As a matter of fact, I didn't watch them yesterday.
You didn't?
I watched.
What'd you watch? Jays?
Yep.
And the Raptors?
No, God, no! I wouldn't watch the Raptors. They are so horrible. You can't possibly watch them. Can't possibly.
They are.
About them.
They are a difficult watch these days, that's for sure.
No, they are an impossible watch. Impossible.
Okay. No,
they are so bad.
You know, you and I have talked about the NCAA tournament not being as compelling. Yesterday was the first day of the whole tournament. Granted, that's only 7 or 8 days. Yesterday was the first day that I actually sat and went, this is what I enjoyed about college basketball again. And probably because of we have this affinity for Zach Edey at Purdue. They were down 11 in the first half. They made a great run to halftime, and it was fun to watch. What not great basketball, Bob? Not great basketball, but fun to watch and very emotional.
It's all a bunch of 18-year-olds who haven't learned to play yet. That's what college basketball has turned into. And that's why I'm so uninterested in it,
generally speaking.
But I have watched Purdue several times in the tournament.
We'll talk to Deitch about Zach Edey, about the Jays, and heaven knows what else we'll talk about on this Monday. Bob and John with Richard Deitch on the McCowan Podcast after this.
Hi, this is Bob McCowan for BetRivers.com. Hey, if you're looking for a sports book or casino app, you should check out the Bet Rivers Sports and Casino app today. Play all of your favorite casino games for real money anywhere and anytime. Plus, get in the action with each sports game with hundreds of sports betting options. And get ready to feel like a VIP because you'll earn both loyalty level points and bonus store points on every real money wager you make. You must be 19 plus, available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you have questions or concerns about your gambling or someone close to you, contact Connex Ontario at 1-866-531-2600 or speak to an advisor free of charge. BetRivers.com.
Welcome back to the McCowan Podcast. It's Monday. That can mean only one thing. Richard Deitch shows up. Richard, I've already asked Bob what struck his fancy this weekend. What struck yours?
Well, the only thing it can mean is low ratings for you and Bob, but it's good to be here anyway.
You watched low rating stuff, or are you talking about your appearance?
I'm talking about myself. Yeah, no, you've reduced your downloads.
Oh, posh.
I'm very, very focused on the NCAA tournaments. Just given, obviously, where I grew up, and I'm into it. I'm really into the women's basketball tournament because it's something I covered. But I was really impressed by Purdue. You know, that there are a lot of people who thought that team was going to get knocked out earlier than it did. They obviously have a player who's of great interest to Canadians in Zach Edey. I'm not sure what kind of an NBA player he's going to be. Quite frankly, I would not draft him. But I do think, like, as a college player, he's been sensational. And I'm happy for him. So I think he's got an interesting backstory of somebody who played hockey when he was young and transferred over to basketball and now is, you know, two wins away from winning in an NCAA championship. Also, you know, obviously I was very much into the Blue Jays this weekend. And I have to say, you know, I mean, I guess we'll see it over the next couple of days, but man, like the team I would not want to face most right now, literally in all of Major League Baseball, is the Astros, because they must be so pissed off about being swept by the Yankees. And so I almost feel like taking one game from them would be a success. They're not losing. That team's not losing six games in a row. No way.
Bob, get on your, come on, Bob, get on your Zach Edey soapbox. Come on.
Well, you see, I would draft him if I were the Raptors and he's available. I would take him.
See?
Yep, 100%. The guy was the player of the year last year, and he's going to be player of the year this year. 2 years in a row. That kind of guy doesn't come along every day.
His skills don't transfer to the league. He's not athletic enough.
How can you say that? How can you say it? The guy scores 30 points a night. You know, are you telling me he won't score?
He's scoring it against Frank McCowan and Bob Shannon. He's not doing that against LeBron.
I play college basketball. Hey,
Bob Shannon was a pretty good basketball player.
Bill Sharman. I don't see it. I mean, listen, maybe I'm wrong. He's improved. I think he probably can get a roster spot in the NBA, but I wouldn't touch him. I wouldn't go near the guy at all. He's just, for the modern game, he can't shoot. You have to shoot. Big guys have to shoot. He can't shoot from the outside. I don't see it.
You know what? You turn the game back the way it used to be, and you make your center play post.
Ugh.
And he's a winner that way.
Yeah, if that center
he'll rebound like crazy, he'll block shots, and he'll score.
Yeah, if that center's Kareem, great. He's not.
Well, I've said this to Bob before, Richard, is that the thing that concerns? First of all, you can't teach height. Okay, you can't teach height. So that's the one thing he's got going for him.
Right.
But I think scouts are probably really, really scared of his strength. Because he's not very, for a man that size, he's not very strong, and he's going to get pushed around.
He'll get stronger. Don't worry.
Yeah, he'll
be strong enough.
But how patient? I'll tell you what, Bob. How patient will you be for him to learn the NBA game and to bulk up? Two years?
How patient will you be with any player?
Well, that's.
You think this draft is filled with Class A guys? It's not.
I agree with you on that. It doesn't look like a good job. Here's the reason why I wouldn't touch him is I just think the game has changed where these post guys, these 7-footers, have such skill to shoot. I mean, admittedly, this guy's a unicorn, but look at Wembanyama versus Zach Edey. It looks like a different planet, like player. I don't know how this guy can play in the NBA with guys like that at center. I hope I'm wrong because I think.
To your point about this draft not being as good as last year, is that even a fair comparison?
Yeah,
because draft years, we see this in every sport. Draft years, and people think that they can put a square peg into a round hole all the time, saying, "Well, this guy's the first pick, so he's got to play this year."
Right,
and it's not fair.
No, I agree. And again, it's not like I have any knowledge. None of the three of us are like scouting players. This is just based on what I've read from people I trust. And all those experts say this is a down draft. It's nothing compared to next year. It's much worse than last year. There's no transcendent player coming in. And so I actually think in some ways that gives Zach Edey a chance to maybe go late first round.
That's exactly what I think. Yeah.
I just wouldn't. I would not touch him.
Hold on, Bob. Richard just said late first round.
That's weird. Really
Richard said late first round, and you're thinking the Raptors should take him at 6.
Yep, absolutely. If he's available, if nobody else takes him. But I don't think he'll be available.
If Bob takes him at 6, I will fire Bob. I will Larry Tannenbaum and Edward Rogers fire Bob.
I got news for you. He might not be available at 6.
I got news for you. Edward Rogers already fired him, Richard. So,
I call it a settlement. But, I hope he makes it because I think he's got a great story and I'd love to see Canadians in, do well. It'd be interesting. I don't know if he's going to make the Canadian Olympic team. That'd be cool if he can.
We know he's going to camp. So
I think that guy's just going to get, the guys in the NBA are like strong ass men. And I just don't see him being able to play in that kind of arena. But, listen.
He'll go 30th, right?
Well, I'm not sure. I will say this, and again, I'm not comparing these two guys, but I will say one thing that Bob said that is correct. guys, there are guys who do get to the league and they become super strong. Like if you looked at Giannis when he was drafted, he was a thin, skinny guy. The guy looks like the Hulk now. So, I mean, people do get stronger and they do bulk up. I don't see him as a 7-footer having the abilities that great 7-footers in the NBA have, like Durant and Wembanyama.
Okay, name me five other guys. Name me five players who will be drafted ahead of him who are better than him.
I would take the guys who most of these scouts have talked about from abroad who seem to be better than him. I think the guy from Duke, Filipowski, is a better player than him.
Gosh, I was disappointed with him weekend.
I just think he's got more skill. I think Reed Sheppard Reed Sheppard of Kentucky. I don't think it's a great draft, but I would take him over Edie as well.
Well, the other question from the Raptors' perspective is, and this is a Pandora's box of a question. You have to fill need, and
they need everything.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I mean.
Right.
I mean, so do you need somebody to? If you think Barnes and Quickly are the guys that can fill one part of the court, what do you need?
Do you think that? Well,
I think you have to. I mean,
I think management thinks that those are the
guys. I agree with that, but I don't think they're any good. Neither one of them is good enough to be a starter.
You know, I mean,
well, then you're, I mean.
But that to me is the big question is what is the Raptors' biggest need? I mean,
it's still shooting. And the problem with the Raptors this year is that because all these guys are out, I don't even know how to, the evaluation is so tough, because we haven't seen the starters. The one, if there's anything positive about this year, it's just maybe Grady Dick has improved during the year, but
he's getting a chance, but he's not a good player. You know,
it's just it's a lost year. There's no positives, none. And so, but John, I'm with you. Like they've already committed, Barrett, Barnes and Quigley, that's their core. Yeah. And then they got to build around
it. It's not getting good, though.
You may be right, Bob, but that's... But
I am right. I'm 100% right.
They made their
decision. Two guys they got from the Knicks are nobodies.
That's their decision.
Well, no, they're not nobodies.
Yes, yeah, they are.
I like Quigley.
I actually like RJ. I think RJ's got a role to play on this team. I really do.
Well, I'm not surprised at that.
Why?
That you think that.
Well, I'm a proud Canadian, and so...
So yeah, that's it. You know,
he's waving the Canadian.
When you're an NBA team and you go and trade for two Canadians, you're waving the red flag too.
You guys can give me the heads up on this, but so I watched the women win the curling, which is pretty exciting. When does this men's tournament end? How long does this thing go on for?
Through the week.
Okay, I got to pay attention to this as we get closer to the end.
By the way, if you're going to do that, you better go listen to our podcast about 2 weeks ago with Bob's buddy Brad Gushue.
I know that name. I like that. Yeah. Has he won a gold medal?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he has. Okay. Yeah, he's won a gold
championship too.
Got it. Okay.
And he's won the Breyer
six times.
Wow. So what would he if you were going to make him the hockey equivalent. What is his hockey equivalent?
Well, he's Connor McDavid.
Sidney Crosby?
Connor McDavid.
McDavid.
Brad Gushue is the Connor McDavid of curling.
Okay.
Actually, that's not true. Sidney Crosby is a better one because, first of all, they're both Maritimers. No, sorry. They're both from the Atlantic provinces. Right. Not of Maritimes, of Atlantic provinces. And they both have championships. Connor doesn't have a championship yet, so it's not fair.
Okay. All right. So that
did. But Sid and Brad are comparable.
What a ridiculous comparison. A hockey player and a curler. Are you serious?
Well, who would you do?
You wouldn't compare them. You can't compare two guys.
You can blame me, Bob. I need
to. Don't call people stupid, Bob. That's okay. Don't call them.
I'm allowed to.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You can't.
It's my
cross
podcast.
That line.
I got news for you.
You can't cross that line, Bob. So anyway, you can't, Bob. Anyway, so I would say is that Gushue, his longevity is one of his great stories.
Right. Okay. So will he be? I really don't know this, but it's interesting. Will he be around for the Cortina Milan game?
Oh yes. Okay, for sure.
That's so that's the magic of curling,
too. You can curl for a long period of time.
I know, but didn't Rachel Holman just announce she's retiring?
No.
No. Okay, I thought she did.
She just won a world championship, too.
She's won a world championship. All right, I got to get my copy of Curling Illustrated. I need the updates.
No, the fascination. How did we get from Zach Edey to Brad Gushue?
Who knows? Because Brad Gushue has more chances of being successful in the NBA. I would draft Brad Gushue over at Edey if I was the Raptors.
Who cares? How stupid.
Maybe you guys will do this tomorrow, but I am curious, especially Bob, what you guys think of the Blue Jays after four games. What have we learned?
Go ahead, Bob.
I'll tell you. What concerns me is they played a C lineup yesterday and won.
Yeah.
And scored 9 runs. That doesn't make me feel positive. Their third baseman wasn't the regular. Their shortstop wasn't the regular. Their second baseman wasn't the regular. They had a 2 corner outfielders that weren't the regulars. And their center fielder was a guy who only plays 50 games there. In other words, they had about as weird a lineup as you could possibly get. And they hit.
They did.
You know, I can't look at that as a long-term positive. They had a bunch of guys who are fringe major leaguers who had a good day. That's it.
Although Turner, yeah. I think, you know, they need Turner to.
Turner had a great day, and he's a player. That's good. No doubt
about it.
Kevin Gausman.
That's the positive I take out of yesterday. He looked good. Kevin Gausman looked healthy, which is massive. Massive. And now we'll see, Bowden Francis and like how the fifth starter does.
I just, when you look at the games they played in Tampa, though, I mean, the roller coaster scores. That does give me some concern.
But you know what? Historically, you got to admit, you would take two out of four in Tampa, given how horrible that place has generally been for the Blue Jays.
Every day, yep.
You know? It's like not that bad a result, just given that team always owns them. And at least they came away with a split. I think this stretch is really interesting because it's the Astros and the Yankees who look like world beaters. You know, I think we'll learn a lot about the Blue Jays. Maybe a lot's a little too strong, but we'll learn some things about the Blue Jays over the course of the next 6-7 days, just given their opponents.
What we're going to learn is whether they have any offense or not.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the issue last year. They didn't score.
You don't think we've learned that already?
No.
Not yet.
We had 2 great games and 2 dogs.
Yeah. I will say this. Vladdy looks like he's going to have a big year. He's in great shape. He looks, and that makes a big difference. There are parts of that lineup I hate. Like, unless Turner plays third base, I feel like that is just a non-offensive position. I'm not convinced Davis Schneider is a major league hitter, but
the lineup,
if Vladdy has like one of these 40 plus homer years, the lineup changes and it helps,
but it's not, you know, baseball's not a one man.
No, I know. I agree with you. It changes how opponents have to face them, but I guess, to some extent. Yeah, whether it's Barco, they need guys lower in the lineup to hit. Like if Jansen and Kirk could hit this year, it would really be huge.
Wow. Ernie Banks was a great baseball player. Great.
Agreed.
How many World Series did he win?
0.
Yeah, none.
Yeah.
And I could tell you a whole long list of players like that. One guy cannot do it. In baseball. Sure.
Although Ernie, I don't even know if the Cubs, did the Cubs even make the playoffs during his time? They had really.
I don't even remember.
Playoffs? Playoffs?
They didn't have playoffs. Yeah,
well, it was different, though.
There was just the American League and the National. There was only two divisions.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
In Early's time.
One last quick thing on the Blue Jays. You know, again, like there's Bob, we've talked about this on this podcast before. The early season injuries, you know, are definitely concerning because last year they had such great health. But again, as I look at this team, I'm sure Bob and probably you, John, agree with me too. I think they're going as far as they're pitching. Like until proven otherwise, this is a pitching heavy team that's going to have to have these guys have another great year, because I'm
no, they really, in order to be as good as they were last year, I don't think you can expect the pitching to be as healthy.
I agree, but I just but the lineup's not better. I just don't think.
No, I understand that.
Yeah,
I understand. So you're asking a bunch of guys to have their best year.
And again,
I don't know if that's possible.
We'll see what happens, and I hope it's just an early season thing. But you know, you don't want your two top relief pitchers, Romano and Swanson, like out from the beginning of the year. So I hope that's not a great sign to start with. But we'll see.
It wouldn't have made one bit of difference in Tampa.
No, not that you're right. The
they had no close games.
Yeah, they got blown out in the games that they lost. They weren't close. Actually, go ahead, John.
No, the elephant in the room might be Bichette, right? I mean,
back spasms is not great, but hopefully it's day to day. You know.
Yeah, but even when he was out there, if he's trying to pay through the pain and he screws up a double play and that ends up being the turning point of one of the games, that to me is that he's got to be. You know, he's improved in the field over the last couple of years. He's got to be.
He's not a great defensive player.
No, he's not. No, he's got to be. He's improved, and he's got to be effective at the plate. And so that you are concerned if you're playing back spasms aren't a good thing.
I know. The way, it drives me insane when I look at the Diamondbacks box scores and see Gurriel's like Babe Ruth right now. It's just so annoying. Ugh, I hated that trade.
Trade. Worst trade ever made by the Blue Jays.
A reminder of how much I hate. And also, I said this on your podcast. I would have tried to get Gurriel back. I know Atkins didn't, but like they must just not. Their analytics department must not have liked that guy. Moreno is the absolute worst trade, but I love Gurriel, and they love their position flexibility, and the Blue Jays upper management loves defense. That's their calling card. We'll see if it works.
Yeah, but they claimed for years and years they love left-handed hitting, and they could never find any.
Well, Varsho's a lefty, you know.
No, I know they have found some now, with Vogelbach said. Well, I mean, Varsho, Vogelbach. Hey, maybe your buddy Joey Votto.
Biggio is a lefty, right?
They have guys who stand on the left-hand side of the plate, but not who can hit. They don't have a good left-handed hitter.
Yeah, you know who's going to come up? You know who's going to come up this year? I'm sure is Tiedemann. I bet you he pitches before the end of the year.
Yeah, I do too. I'll bet you too. Yeah, I agree.
I think they got
him because he was great for the first four innings of Buffalo, and then then the roof fell in.
I'm just saying I think management's feeling the heat. They're going to, I think, throw everything to try to get into the playoffs and then see what happens. And if they don't make the playoffs, Ross Atkins is done, unquestionably.
Do you think there's any chance that they give Biggio second base and let him run with second base?
Yeah, I do. I think, actually, I like him. I think he's a winning player. I wish his average was a little bit better. But I find him to be a winning player. And at this point, I'm not convinced David Schneider is an everyday player yet. I mean, he had the, that 1 3-week stretch where he was like, Barry Bonds. But other than that, he's just, like Bob said, he's just a fringe major leaguer right now to me.
What about you, Bob?
He is the best second baseman on the Blue Jays now. But that doesn't mean he's good enough.
Would you let him play 125 games there?
Maybe, because you got nobody else.
Yeah. I find Biggio to be a winning player. I just think he's solid. Like, he's solid defensively. He's not a 2020 guy or anything like that. But like, if he got time, I feel like he could be like a 12 to 15 homer guy with like
maybe 20 steals. His biggest problem is he's versatile. He can play other positions.
Exactly.
And so they use him like that.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help him.
But he struggles from one side of the plate. But I like him. I actually think he's improved each year I've seen him. So, John, I would not be surprised if he's your regular second baseman.
I think to Bob's point, I think you're right, Bob, about the versatility. But all they've done now is acquire versatile players. And so hopefully that allows them to say to Biggio, play second base, play 120, 125 games, get in a rhythm at the plate. Because I think that's part of it.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. But what makes you think they will do that? moving players around is okay.
And Clement, you know, I give Clement credit. He had a great spring and he's continued to hit. And, you know, you want to, I mean, if you're John Schneider, you got to play a little bit of a hot hand.
I guess to answer the question, Bob, is I think that they feel at some point that they should give and reward somebody. This guy's been a loyal guy to this organization.
He's getting paid. He's getting paid.
My point is where they tell him to. Yeah, no, right. But I think if you gave him more,
very nice.
But are you gonna let me finish, Bob?
Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I think if they gave him 125 games there, I think he'd be more effective at the plate. I think we like his defense. And I think that would allow all the other guys to play all those versatile positions. And I just think it's too logical right now. And I think they do need to create some stability at second base as they had when they were more successful, when they did have a regular second baseman. And I think Biggio deserved that chance. That's all. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll take a quick break, Richard, and then you can jump in after that. Bob, John, Richard on the McCowan Podcast on a Monday. All right, we're back. Are we done with the Jays?
My only last point on this, John, was going to be like they, in some ways, it's a good problem to have, but they have a lot of like Biggios and they don't have like a Roberto Alomar. And so they're going to have to figure out like, you know, like they have Biggio, David Schneider, Clement. These are all, they're all capable of having good stretches and then all capable of being very average players. So that's where John Schneider is going to have to, I just feel like, have a feel for the team. You know, hopefully everybody stays healthy. But what I saw over the weekend, and this will be the last thing I just say, is like, it really does reinforce how important Turner is. He has to hit. Like, that was their big free agent pickup in the offseason, and they need him to put up the numbers he put up with the Red Sox. And if he does, then it's, you know, then that first four of the lineup's pretty good. And then you'll see, you know, then you take your shot after that.
All right. Hey, so you touched off the top that you've been watching the women's tournament a little bit. There's a lot of comparisons of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese to being Bird and Magic. Is that fair?
Well, now that you've educated me on curling, I'm going to say that Caitlin Clark is the Brad Gushue of women's curling.
Don't compare anybody to Brad Gushue. Okay, Gushue. Come on.
It's a terrible. I blew the joke because I didn't even pronounce the guy's name right. I've seen that. I don't know. I love the women's game. I've covered it for 20 years. I don't think anybody, I feel fairly comfortable to say very few people in the entire country of Canada know more about American women's college basketball than I do. But that's a big stretch, John. I mean, that really was a revolutionary matchup. When they went into the when they went into the NBA, it changed the entire NBA. Bird and Magic are the reason why the NBA became the NBA, in my opinion. So I think, you know, it's sort of a smaller, writ small version of it. They don't play a lot. You know, this is only the second time they've played. So it's hard to know whatever it will be. But here is what I will say about this. In all my years of covering this, I've never seen the sport more popular. Last year's championship game drew 10 million viewers. You know, that's like a massive college football game. I expect Iowa LSU to be 7-8 million viewers in the United States. I mean, that's more than any Stanley Cup final game gets. So they've changed the equation on the sport. The question will be, does it translate to the pro league? And I don't really know. I hope it does, but I think you have to wait and see to see what happens. But Caitlin Clark, whether it's the shooting from, you know, like Steph Curry, whether it's people just like her story, you know, this girl came up in the middle of Iowa and just became the star, whatever it is, she's connected with the American public more than any women's college player, certainly since I've covered the sport.
Well, it's fascinating because I wonder like where the WNBA is, because it's got a place in the sports landscape, not a big one. It's got a place in the sports landscape.
Niche sport.
It's a niche. Can she make that much of a difference?
Yes, I think so. Again, that sport is growing. So, you only want to go in one direction, and they're going in the right direction. They just expanded to the Bay Area. We know about the Toronto thing. I think they would have actually come here if that didn't get blown up by Edward Rogers. We'll see if Larry Tannenbaum can still make it happen. So things are going in the right direction. You know, like their WNBA finals, they're in like 700,000, John, 800,000 viewers. You know, again, that's a real sport. You can make money on that. But, you know, this is not the NFL, college football, the NHL. It sort of has its place. It's a summer sport. And they just, to me, have to just sort of keep growing. She will really help. Just because of how many people have heard of her, I think it just makes people maybe curious to check out a game where they might not have. But
Bob, would you bring a
baseball? It's tough.
I'm curious, Bob. Would you bring a WNBA team to Toronto?
No. The game even doesn't though you, interest if, me. If I, doesn't no, interest
but if,
me.
No, but you personally, it doesn't interest. But you're a businessman too.
Well, is I still would do it. I would. No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, Bob Richard, and I have always.
Can you make Bob, money? Yeah, maybe, but a small amount.
Yeah, but Bob and I, we used to talk about that. We debated this one on air a lot. We disagree on this. I think it will be successful. I've heard his reasons. I understand where he's coming from. And you know, very much like the PWHL, they eventually sort of have to prove that they can be financially successful. But I think it would succeed in Toronto. I think you saw that even with that one-off. I mean, they brought an exhibition game here with no stars, and they sold out.
I understand.
Yeah.
And so I think
one-offs are different, though. We all know one-offs.
Yeah, that's an event. I agree with you. It's sort of an event, and people are into it. I just think the country's demographics and the city's demographics fit for a WNBA expansion team. It's an immigrant city. There's a lot. I think it's a really good entertainment vehicle for families to take, particularly young girls. I think it could succeed. I'm not saying succeed like it's going to be, you know, the valuation of the Dallas Cowboys, but I think at a certain point it could turn a small profit. And to me, that's success. But they need deep pockets to start. And John, you're closer to Larry Tannenbaum certainly than myself. They need an ownership or an owner who's willing to lose money before they make money. Like, that's just the reality.
Yeah. The interesting thing, and Bob lived this too, is that Larry was a big part of trying to bring the NFL to Toronto. Remember, yeah. Bob? And how much they overpriced tickets?
No, why did that not? Why didn't that work? Because if you would have asked me before I lived here, I would have predicted Toronto would have been a great NFL city.
Because a $65 NFL ticket was $300 here.
Well, that's the fault of what they did. That's a terrible. Then they screwed up massively, right? They over
a friend of mine was in line for tickets. I don't remember whether he got them or not. But they were $1,500 a ticket. Now, today, you might get that money for an NFL game because the ticket prices have gone way up. But 10 years ago or whatever, when the Bills were here, that was ridiculous. Yeah. They tried to gouge the people, and they got screwed.
It's funny. I remember, gosh, I can't remember. I was at one of the last games they brought here. It was Buffalo-Seattle game. And they didn't even sell out, Richard. I think they had 34,000 for the Bills in Toronto. Well, of course, people in Buffalo did not want the Bills to be playing here.
No, I understand that. That makes sense to me. I mean, they want the Southern Ontario.
You can't tailgate. Can't tailgate. It's a football stadium. You're comfortable, but it's not the experience at Orchard Park.
Yeah,
and lots of people go to Orchard Park for the experience.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Pagulas, or maybe before that it was Ralph Wilson and his family. There's no way they would want Toronto to get a franchise. It takes their Southern Ontario market.
Issue with the Bills was the Rogers wanted to buy the Bills and move them to Toronto. It wasn't about getting another NFL team.
Okay.
It was just the Bills.
Yeah. I remember the
Bills were for sale.
I do remember that. That's business wise, that probably would have been a interesting and smart decision.
You remember the bidding process. The bidding process for the Bills, because it was the Wilson estate his Ralph Wilson's daughters did not want the team because they did not want to pay the estate tax of New York. It was exorbitant. So the bidding process occurred. Rogers tried to kick tires, and then there were two final bidders on the Bills. You remember who those were?
Well, Pegula, obviously, who got it. I don't think Trump was a real bidder, do you?
I think, yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no way he would never have had the money. That would have been smoke and mirrors. But yeah, okay.
You're saying that Donald Trump doesn't have money? Is that what you're saying, Richard?
I mean, he might now from his Truth Social, but as a long-standing New Yorker who was born and raised there, anyone who has followed me on Twitter, I think, knows what I think is 6'3", 215. Yeah.
Okay.
So the Bob sort of brings up an interesting point. Had Rogers really gone for it and gotten them and then really like re-promoted it, like it might have worked in Toronto. But the question would be,
you could never take the Bills out of Buffalo.
I would hate that. I love Buffalo. I wouldn't want to see that. I'm just thinking for an NFL team, could it? You'd have to build a new stadium, right? You couldn't do it at Rogers Center. So you need an NFL stadium. And where are you going to build that thing in Toronto?
Well, Bob has an idea where to build it.
Downsview.
Well,
lots of space around there.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I know there are still people at Maple Leaf Sports and certainly Mr. Tannenbaum. I never see the NFL coming to Toronto.
Wouldn't you get Canadian politicians to be like, we're not allowing this, you're going to kill the CFL?
No.
You know, 50 years ago, the answer was yes, but not now.
Yeah, but now, no.
Okay.
I mean, we did have government legislation to stop a football team from coming to Toronto in the World League.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, Bob?
Sure.
John Bassett tried to bring a team from here called the Toronto Northmen, signed Jim Kick and Larry Zonka.
They wanted to be the Memphis Southmen.
And they became the Memphis Southmen.
So, yeah. Carling Bassett's dad, right?
Correct. Yes. His father was one of the founding members of CTV television. So,
wow.
And he owned the Toronto Telegram news. He owned the Toronto Telegram newspaper. So
interesting. Yeah. I think at this point the ship has long sailed on this market. I don't think Canada will ever get an NFL team. At least in my lifetime.
You're right.
I think they're now long on to Germany, London, Mexico City. Right. They've decided Canada's not the market.
By the way, South America. They're playing games in South America this year.
I know. You know what? Like, they'll make money on all these markets. I just don't, like, the question would be, like, is the NFLPA willing to sign off and agree to have their players live in these places? I don't know.
Well, there's no leagues that have gone outside of North America on a permanent basis. There are no teams outside of North America.
That's true. For the major sports, you're correct. That's right.
Not one.
Yeah.
Look at the biggest market outside of America right now and close by is Mexico City.
Correct.
There's how many people in Mexico City? 20 million plus.
Something crazy. Yeah.
Right?
I think the NFL is going to do it. You don't think so? I think they're going to be, I don't know where they're going to go, but I think they're going to be the first ones to put a franchise in front.
No,
I don't know. I don't know when.
Nope.
Well, Bell's
how many times have they gone to London, England?
A lot.
The NFL.
For the one-off.
And they've done pretty well, right?
Yeah.
Why haven't they been gone there?
I think it's going to happen sooner than you think.
Why?
Because I think they want to expand globally, and I think they see London or Berlin or Munich as just a cash cow for them to make more money.
Well, if they're going to go to Europe, then they better put at least four franchises there.
Maybe have a division there. It'll be interesting to see if they do that.
And I don't think that's going to happen. I don't.
That actually, if you put four teams there, that I think that would even be tougher than putting a single team there.
Well, it may be, but...
But then Bob's saying travel, right? Then people just hang out there for a couple of weeks and you play.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's something they're going to... You know, the NFL officials will be like, there's no difference in traveling from New York to London versus New York to LA. I think players are going to think differently. We'll see.
Sure, they will.
Yeah.
Well, there we tell them that there are five time zones to London, only three to LA. So yeah, there's a little bit of a difference.
If you played in the NFL, would you want to play in London, England?
I mean, I would because I think it's an amazing city, but I don't think a lot of these guys would. No, I don't think they want.
No, they don't want to play there.
It's the same reason they don't want to play in Toronto, and it's like across
the
yeah, right. Not the same reason, but it's similar. Same idea. Yeah.
Here's the question: can I get ESPN in London?
Probably.
VPN. Yeah. VPN.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Richard. Thanks for a Monday. Good job, buddy.
See you.
Richard Deitch. Richard Deitch, John Shannon, Bob McCowan, back after this. You know, the concept of, Bob, of North American leagues playing regular season games on a regular basis in Europe, I just don't feel an attraction to it. Do you?
No, not at all. Any game outside of North America is a waste of time, in my opinion. The Dodgers played where in the spring to start season?
Seoul, South Korea.
Why?
Because their best player is from Asia, and they want to grow the game, and they want to get revenue from South Korea and Japan.
Well, yeah, it's about money.
No doubt. It's about selling Dodger jerseys.
But don't be mistaken to think these leagues are going to incorporate new countries. They're just not. Mexico City has been sitting there as a baseball place for 100 years, and they haven't touched it. And there's no real reason for it.
Let me ask you this: if you were a decision maker, would you put into Mexico City, or would you put a Major League Baseball team into Mexico City?
Would I put one into Mexico City or baseball?
Football. Would you put a football team?
They're not going to do either. They would have done it by now. There's no reason to do it now. No reason whatsoever.
I could see them putting an NFL team there. I really could.
Won't happen. And they won't put a team in London, and they won't put a team in Berlin or any place else in Europe.
I can understand that, but Mexico City's
but what haven't they done already, John? Why haven't they done it? Mexico City just did get big. They get big yesterday. It was the biggest city in North America 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. They still haven't gone there.
How many exhibition games
has the NFL played in Mexico City?
Four or five.
Yep, that's it.
Four or five. Always sell out Azteca Stadium. 100,000 people.
So why haven't they gone there?
100,000 people. Maybe they don't have an owner. maybe there isn't a Mexican billionaire or an American billionaire that wants to put a team there. I can see them going to Mexico City. I really can. Now they're going to have to add another team then, and that's the other question: is that where do you add the second team? Because you can't have an uneven number. They're not going there.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, I won't. All right.
Okay.
Have a good Monday, Bob.
You too. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Right on. Thanks for watching or listening to the McCowan Podcast.
It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download their online casino and sportsbook app today.